This is the problem. Take a pair of scales.
It's strange how the mere whiff of a little authority can turn something that is quite silly into something that people believe. For example, a few years ago, a substitute teacher at my daughter's high school told the class that blue eyes and red hair would soon vanish from the population. But the teacher was simply echoing the story that newspapers and TV stations around the globe were carrying at that time. Most of the media stories emphasised the loss of red hair, with the loss of blue eyes buried deeply in the story. This story is told in the worldwide media, had a few scientific words thrown in, such as genome and recessive genes. And then a dash of authority was added by quoting either the World Health Organization or the prestigious Oxford Hare Foundation. In truth, the whole story was a complete furphy, and many people in the news media were conned. But these people were conned only because they didn't do their basic phone calling and fact-checking. The genetics behind this story about red hair and blue eyes began way back in the 18th century. That was when Chinese and Japanese mouse breeders began crossbreeding mice with coats of different colours. Now, genetics is quite complicated, and these simple experiments led to only a primitive understanding of genetics. Unfortunately, this incomplete understanding led to inaccurate conclusions. So, by 1865, the first documented mention of this myth appeared in an American journal called Flag of Our Union. The myth about red hair and blue eyes vanishing never went away and kept popping up every decade or so in various American newspapers. The so-called science behind the myth was always the same, very simple, easy to understand, making perfect sense, but unfortunately almost completely wrong. The myth started off with a few mostly correct implied beliefs about genetics. You've probably heard about genes. They're the basic unit that parents can pass on to their children, such as being short or tall. And you might have heard of genes being dominant or recessive. For example, think about your earlobe, the lowest part of your external ear. There are two major possibilities. The earlobe can be attached to the skin at the side of your head, or it can float freely in the breeze. Now suppose that one parent has attached earlobes, but the other has earlobes that are free. Then the child will usually have a free earlobe. So in this case, we say that the gene for free earlobes is dominant, while the gene for attached earlobes is recessive. And so if the child is to have attached earlobes, both of the parents must carry the gene for attached earlobes. Now, this is an example of why genetics is so complicated. For the child to have attached earlobes, the two parents don't have to have attached earlobes, they just each have to carry the gene for attached earlobes somewhere in their DNA. But getting back to the genes for red hair and blue eyes supposedly vanishing, well, they don't have to. Recessive genes don't automatically vanish. For example, about 1 in 70 white Caucasians carries the recessive gene for cystic fibrosis, which used to lead to a very short life expectancy. And yet, this recessive gene still survives. Genes are complicated, and most high school biology books used to explain genes with simple examples relating to hair and eye colour. The problem with these explanations was they were too simplistic. And until recently, we didn't truly understand how hair colour and eye colour passed from one generation to the next. We now know a little about the transmission of eye colour, and are just beginning to understand the transmission of hair colour. For example, it was only in the late 1990s that we found the first gene involved in red hair. But, as with everything in the human body, hair colour is very complicated. For example, there are different pigment receptors. There's incomplete dominance with regard to different allele variants. And of course, there could be other genes for red hair on other chromosomes. So as an example of how complicated this topic is, we still don't know how a man can have a red beard and black hair. But we are beginning to understand why red-haired women get very good pain relief from certain opiate painkillers, much better than dark-haired women. Now, getting back to the story that blondes and redheads would soon be extinct, I guess that the journalists did very little checking. If they had, they would have found that the World Health Organization had long denied having anything to do with this story, and that the Oxford Hair Foundation had quietly slipped away from its own homepage into the Procter & Gamble Beauty Science homepage. Maybe this blonde scientific study is less of a bombshell and more of a dud.
What does it mean? Why is it so?